See, you're really throwing it down in the kitchen. Like, you're not, this is not a shtick for air. Like, you're throwing it down every night. I see you.
It takes a long time.
It does. Cooking is a little like, is it worth it? You ask yourself a lot.
I do find it soothing, though. I picked up a new hobby, I guess. Thank you, HelloFresh.
It's one of those things that when you're in it and you're cooking it, you're like, I'm doing something. And then you sit down to eat it and you're just like, would this have been worth it to just pay someone to make this
well,
for me?
The shitty part is cleaning up.
No, yes. This is right. The shitty part is an hour and a half of cooking, not with HelloFresh, but in general, an hour and a half of cooking and it takes you 5 minutes.
Well, one of the things that I like about HelloFresh is that they're fresh ingredients, right? So you could buy minced garlic, but they make you mince the garlic yourself, which I enjoy, but it also...
I just have minced garlic, and if they want me to chop up garlic, I just take a scoop of minced garlic.
Right.
Boom, done.
Like, every dish that I get has these scallions, right? So, like, that takes me, like, 20 minutes to just prep, like, the veggies for it.
Separate the white and the green.
Always. But I have caught the bug a little bit.
Mincing it.
Why do you need to separate them if they just get back together when you mix everything?
Right. Because the white is usually used that you cook it and put it with something, and the green is like a garnish at the end of the dish.
Oh, God, get out of here.
Yeah. I enjoy the pickling process. I had a recipe that I was pickling the white scallions in white vinegar. White wine vinegar, and that was, mm-hmm. was quite delicious.
You enjoyed the process?
Yeah, I'm learning a lot.
It definitely, that is one thing. It teaches you different methods of cooking.
Yeah.
Roy, is that, how was your face, Roy?
Well, it's swollen.
Holy.
Let's see. You want to, you're amongst friends, or do you not want to show it? I don't want to put you out. Don't, in fact, I don't want to see it.
Really I want to see it. Show me.
I want to see it, too.
Oh, it was, I mean, yeah. It probably, okay. You want to see? Okay.
Whoa. Ooh. Oh, wow. I don't want to see underneath.
This is
that.
Gauze. This is just.
Oh, you're going under the gauze. Okay.
Oh, I can't tell.
Not that bad.
Yeah, it doesn't look
not that bad. Yeah. But I'm still leaking.
Yeah. Do you snore? You're a snore?
No.
Well, then. Well, isn't that a procedure to like help with snoring?
No, this procedure was going to help me with my migraines. So,
oh, okay.
I feel like Roy would not admit to us if he was a snorer. No. Like in that spot.
Oh, no,
where
I'm not a snorer.
I know, but I feel like if you were, you still would say no because you don't really like to give us the satisfaction yeah. of that's yes
kind
of, ever.
That's kind of your thing.
Chris, there's no that's doubt with
not
you,
true.
Right? I mean, there's no doubt you're
look,
a snorer,
he won't
right?
even give us that. It's so on brand. No, that's not true.
It's also hard to know if you're a snorer, right? Unless right. someone tells you.
I'm where's the need?
I'm a snorer.
At work.
Well,
I figured that you got a deviated septum, so I figured that you would.
You know right. what? I'm texting a need.
It was a rhinoplasty. We know. This is not an actual.
It's not a rhinoplasty.
I don't think Tony snores, though. I don't think Tony's ever snored, or he'll never. I don't think he'll ever snore, period, Tony. I don't know why I have this weird thing with Tony where I think he's perfect.
You want to f him? I mean,
that's it. Billy, thank you. You identified it. I want to have sex with Tony.
That was so shocking.
That's it.
Endoscopic.
Whenever I hear the F word from Billy, it always
Billy,
like,
that was great, man. That was really funny.
He really means it. And in this case, yeah. he was right. Yeah. I mean,
I've been rolling on the whole thing. That's
good use
out.
Of
it. Trust me.
That is a good use of it.
Billy, Tony, do you snore?
Sometimes.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
You sound
shocker.
Snoring right now.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I snore. It depends on how tired I am.
Billy, there were two moments that brought America together last night. One was obviously the versus thing, and that's a larger conversation. But I'm hoping you saw Pitbull perform at the Latin Grammys with all the first responders.
I saw of it. I didn't see it happen. I thought you were going to talk about the Seahawks neon green jerseys bringing America together. But that's probably more likely to tear America apart.
I think it's called action green. I think that's what they call it. I've been corrected by Mina Kimes, but I was watching highlights of Pitbull. I'm trying to track down the entire performance, but Pitbull performed this sort of coming together song that he released at the beginning of the pandemic called I Believe That We Will Win. Which I think he's just trying to get royalties off of U.S. men's soccer, but whatever. And he performed it at the Latin Grammys, and his entire backing band was first responders, but they were also dressed as first responders. So it was a little bit jarring to watch two firefighters in their firefighter garb just shredding on a guitar while Mr. Worldwide is just bringing the country together.
I remember when this whole thing started and when he released that song, that whatever that tower is called in the middle of downtown. What is that thing called? I don't know what it's called.
Freedom Tower.
Freedom
right?
Tower?
The
Freedom
no, no, Tower? No, no, no. It's a new one. It's a new like one.
It's
the
river. It's a my. It's the new building on the Miami.
I think
river.
It starts with a P or something. I don't know. But like the whole side of the building is like a giant LED board. And like depending on when you drive by, it's just an American flag waving. But they had something with it was like a group of radio stations where every night at 10 o'clock for like a week, right on the dot. And it was like all these local stations down here, like the Spanish station, the like top, pop, whatever, top 40 station, whatever. They would play the song right at 10 o'clock. And that tower would have the lyrics like on the side of the building. Like, and it's like a 50 something, 60 something story massive building, and you just have Pitbull's lyrics and the song like blaring in unison. It was the best. God, it got us through this, huh? Thank God we recovered because of that.
Did, but it, like, as the vaccine, I think because Pfizer's pushing the vaccine out today, they're filing for emergency approval today, and I think they were spurred on by Pitbull's performance at the Latin Grammys.
I was gonna say, isn't the real vaccine though song? And new Pitbull music, yeah. If we really get down to the bottom of it.
I think the vaccine is Jeezy and Gucci Mane coming together and performing So Icy to close their
I want to talk about that. Manny Diaz is tested positive for COVID. You just COVID.
This is the local hour. And...
No, but I want to talk about our pursuit of Pitbull because I thought we were going to get closer to Armando here when we talked to his brother, Yuli Diaz, earlier this week, the bare-knuckle fighter who knocked someone out in 3 seconds. What happened with our pursuit after that?
Well, I think Billy has the answer. We spoke to Yuli, and that afternoon he was going on Pitbull's podcast, and he was supposed to ask Pitbull to come back on the show with us, so I don't know where Billy left that.
I got the sense that Yuli was just being polite with that. I will say this. There has been conversation between Billy and Yuli since, so, you know.
Is it not, just like just personal conversation or, you know?
Oh, yeah. We're two peas in a pod, me and Yuli.
You want to f*** him.
The thing that I think the last time he was on, it sounded like you wanted to, actually.
I did.
The way that you talked about his glistening brown body. But is this, Billy, like a Marlin scenario where you just now want to be friends with Yuli, but we're not going to get anything out of it? Like it's like yesterday's Marlin scenario where you're getting a good relationship with the Marlins that feeds your fandom, but our show doesn't get anything out of that relationship.
No, God, it's the slow play, all right? The slow play. You don't want to come off too desperate right away and say, oh, my God, Yuli, get me this for that, blah, blah. You become friends with them, and then they become friends with us. And then instead of like, hey, it's a one-off type thing, they're like regulars. You know what I mean? Mr. Worldwide is there. Luis Fonsi's there. He was friends with Shaq. Shaq's alluded this show for some time. Maybe Shaq will come on. It's the slow play, guys. The slow play.
I appreciate that. Next thing you know, Jason Sudeikis is on South Beach Sessions, Dan.
Boom.
Izzy, have you?
I'm a little nervous to do it. We're getting closer.
Like, well, I'm still Bill waiting Lawrence for David Beckham because you took Kobe Jones years ago. Like, how many U.S. soccer players did we have on the show with the idea that we would get Beckham, and we've never gotten Beckham?
I mean, you're very high maintenance when you're dismissing the legend Kobe Jones. But yeah, I'm still working that Beckham angle. He's over in the UK. Are you trying to set up talk for Inter Miami's first ever playoff game tonight? Didn't Can you tell I'm excited?
Didn't we take a mascot?
I mean, no, I don't think we took a mascot, two guys.
We didn't take a mascot, but we did we take Michael Bradley, which is sort of the equivalent?
No, we did not take Michael Bradley.
I feel like we took a few people that we didn't want to take in the idea that we would eventually get David Beckham. This
the
show,
slow play.
The slow play. The slow play.
You know what? That was thrown in my face a lot. You got Jozy Altidore the day that he assisted the game-winning goal against Algeria from South Africa because
Who
of those
could
relationships
forget it?
I built. All right? He was next to Bill Clinton when he was talking to us on the phone. I mean, I got you Jozy Altidore.
Agreed, but we agreed to take all of those soccer players in exchange for a David Beckham who has not appeared, correct?
Hey, not yet.
I'm just trying to understand the rules of the slow play, okay, as you guys have delineated.
This is over a decade-long play, and I'm getting there.
See, it's different. I like to strike while the iron's hot. Like, we had Yuli on. I think you go right after Pitbull. You go for a week or two. We're friends. It's a blaze right through the sky. We're friends, and then they never talk to us again. That's it. That's the way I go. I mean, you guys go with your slow play, but I would have him on already. I mean, no. Pitbull be on today.
No, well, feel free to handle it if you want to get him on today.
I need Yuli's number. I mean, this is all an angle for me to get Yuli's number.
Just DM him.
I mean,
that's all you have an Instagram.
DM Yuli?
Yeah, just DM him.
All right. You follow me? I mean, I don't know.
It'll work out.
Okay.
Trust me.
I'm going after Yuli.
I don't feel like we talked at all about Precious Achiuwa yesterday. Like, we didn't talk at all about what the Heat did. We have grown accustomed in many, many years before the last couple that whatever the Heat are doing in the middle of the first round isn't going to net them anything. But all of a sudden, the last couple of years have struck gold. So now are people assuming that one of the most athletic people in the draft can be shaped and molded by the Heat into something that's special or precious?
I had no idea how awesome this guy was in college. He was a really good player, and he's a cultural fit by all accounts, and he fits a need from the Miami Heat. And they got, look, you see what they do with second-round picks and G League people like Duncan Robinson and turning big contract players over and over again. Like, Tyler Johnson has a contract that everybody wants to get rid of. By the way, I saw James Johnson opted into $60 million and was promptly traded to Oklahoma City. So, yeah, if they're getting a pick in the number 20 overall pick, of course I'm going to trust that, because look what they do with people that are undrafted.
Well, you guys saw, right, because this is always interesting to me when you sort of escape a problematic situation. You guys saw that Gordon Hayward, once the coveted prize of the Miami Heat, he opted out of $34 million in Boston. Opted out, which means, I got to assume, right? It's one of two things, and I guess the nefarious one. He was unhappy there, or he thinks he could get a lot more than that.
He knows.
Free agent market?
He's got to know he's got a deal that he ends up winning. You don't opt out of $34 million, especially with that injury history. That injury history might scare him into wanting a longer-term deal. But, yeah, he obviously has something queued up.
Mike, you think there's someone out there that's going to offer him $34 million?
It's Atlanta, isn't it?
Really?
Atlanta's talked about it. And you be careful there,
wow.
Leon Rose.
Wow. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Well, you have to be careful for a number of different reasons. One of them being, we scoffed at the idea once upon a time that Tyler Johnson was going to get $50 million. And
not
good
I.
Point.
Not I.
I did.
Nah, the NBA is crazy, man. There's always, your value is what one team will pay for you. And you don't make a decision like that. He's got a good agent in Bartlestein. Like, they know exactly what they're doing.
But $34 million is just for 1 year, correct?
He was opting in. He was opting into $34 million. I'm sure Danny Ainge is actually pretty happy.
No, but someone's going to pay him north of $34 million
maybe
for
not that
a year?
Well, it won't be a year, but what he's going to do is maybe get 3 years at whatever, $60 million or however it is that the math works, and he's coming off of injury, so he might be worried if he goes in 1 more year, $34 million, and doesn't show anything,
right,
that he's not going to be able to actually recoup the $34 million, as opposed to now, because the money's guaranteed in basketball. My guess is that he probably has some sort of idea that he's going to get $50 or $60 million over a few years.
Get 3 years, 50 to 60, as opposed to 1 year, 30.
I don't know the math on this. It might even be more than that, for all I know.
Right.
It's going to be interesting. The Celtics always seem to do a good job of rebuilding after they lose these guys, but, you know, they're in the room with Kevin Durant. Everyone's thinking they have the best shot outside of Golden State to get him. They have this core of Horford, Kyrie, and Gordon Hayward that everyone's excited about. Now none of them are there, and they're looking at the downward trajectory of Kemba Walker's career, so it's a little scary for them.
What Philadelphia did, I thought, was interesting, Stugatz, because they basically just jettisoned what the previous administration had done in terms of mismatched parts. The Al Horford thing really didn't work, and it's what Amin was telling you yesterday. There's a difference between a guy who's decent or okay from three, which Al Horford has become, and a reputation three shooter that you have to guard out there, opening things up for Simmons and Embiid. The best version of the team was the one that had a bunch of shooters on it, that had J.J. Redick, that had Ilyasova,
right.
Saric, like a bunch of shooters around those guys. And Jimmy Butler was there too, which obviously.
Well, yeah, that Saric was in that Jimmy Butler trade. But I'm with you. I still don't know how much better they got. They solved some answers, but I don't think the shooting is good enough to compensate for the lack of shooting from their two usage guys.
I wonder if you're so homer and so filled with what has happened over the last few seasons that if I said to you, who would you rather have, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons or Bam and Jimmy Butler, that you would tell me that whoever I put in the Heat uniforms is going to end up being the better combination of players. That if I gave Jimmy Butler and Bam.
Yeah, do you not know what culture is?
To the Sixers.
Yeah, right. That's what culture
there's
is.
Really no need to wonder.
And
there,
I put Joel Embiid. Right. So you'd believe in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons as a combination if they were here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's. You wouldn't?
It's not that I wouldn't. I'd have the same sort of questions about how do those pieces fit. If I took them right now out of Philadelphia, what they're saying in Philadelphia.
That organization is a tire fire.
Look, I know it's been a tire fire, but the part that I find interesting about what Daryl Morey selected is he tried to be so creative for so many years in Houston, so many different ways. He tried to hire Mina to do an Etch-a-Sketch trying to recruit some free agent. I don't know whether it was Dwight Howard or somebody else, and now what he's done is he's upgraded for the situation that any executive would want, which is, wait a minute, what do you mean I could get two young superstars and start there? Like, he just went from Houston and something that felt like it was all falling apart and everyone fleeing the premises to a perfect situation for him, because every GM is going to want to start with those two pieces.
But Mike Magic, culture, you get how the culture works. Like Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins win a title here. I mean, they do.
Okay, I don't do. Look, you know I believe in the Heat organization, and I believe in the people who run it, and that they do special things in terms of molding and shaping people into their best selves. But get out of here with that. Like, get out of here with a team that can't make the playoffs in the West.
I'm fine. I'm with you.
Don't get out of here with that. Yeah. Jimmy Butler made that, like, what, a 3 seed?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and those guys are trash now. I mean, for reputation guys in league anyways.
Golden State Warriors are all of a sudden, they've got 3 bad contracts. They've got Wiggins, they've got Draymond, and they've got Klay. Those are 3 now bad contracts for the team that was light years ahead of everybody a couple of years
ago.
Man,
that was so disappointing about Klay.
Yeah,
I'm really bumming about that because I wanted to see Steph, Klay, and Draymond Green. I was reading an article that dynasty deserved the opportunity to give it up on the court. And even in that finals, they were all super hurt in that finals. You never really got to see the champion go down at the hands of someone else, truly. Even if you hated that team, you wanted to see that.
I was bummed as well. It's going to be, they're saying, 2.5 years between games for Klay Thompson. Like, we're never going to see the same Klay Thompson again, right?
And defensively, probably not. He's still one of the best spot-up shooters ever. So I'm not sure that's going to go away.
People have gotten better at coming back, mildly better, coming back from the Achilles injury. Charles Barkley thought that he was the best two-way player in the sport. One would imagine that his defense can't be as good. One would also imagine that he'll be able to shoot until he's 50.
Yeah. Well, Wesley Matthews had that injury, and he played pretty well defensively for Milwaukee this last season. I think he's available now. I think he opted out. So maybe that gives some hope. It was a death sentence in the NBA up until the mid-2000s, and even now you still see players not be themselves. And wing players, they rely more on that fast twitch muscle fiber. So we'll see what happens with Klay.
I'm surprised you weren't gloating more yesterday about Josh Richardson being traded to the Dallas Mavericks. You have been the nation's preeminent Josh Richardson hater since he was here, making dumb decisions late in games. You wanted him traded
faster.
Is that
my reputation?
I believe it is. Would you guys agree with that, that Mike Ryan has been the nation's preeminent Josh Richardson hater?
I mean, he's not a bad player.
I would agree. I mean, he's the
only
one.
It's a sad beat.
Yes, he's the
only
one.
Sad beat.
I'm on that and Antonio Callaway.
Oh, wait a minute. We got to get to that because Antonio Callaway has been called up. There have been COVID strikes, and Antonio Callaway is now off the practice squad for the Dolphins. This means that Chris and Mike Ryan are going to have at it. Mike Ryan believes Antonio Callaway is the worst football player in the history of football. Mm-hmm. Chris is excited to see what Tua can do with Antonio Callaway.
I just kind of knew that name would poke Mike Ryan. So when I found out he was on our practice squad, I just wanted to poke Mike Ryan with him.
You're needling me right now. The man that single-handedly brought down 2 things I love, the Browns and the XFL. I'm dreading is the two catches for 24 yards, but one of them is a short slant for a touchdown. And then mentioned that it's going to be terrible. And then when he gets cut like five games later, I don't get to take a victory lap.
But what are you doing with your recent label as the world's preeminent Josh Richardson?
It's a weird label.
I mean, he's a nice guy. That's what I'll say about Josh Richardson. Their defense is going to suffer from trading him. And he should have shot the ball a little bit better, especially remember his rookie year. He had numbers comparable to Steph.
But it didn't make any sense. And that speaks to your culture stuff. Yeah. Josh Richardson came here and all of a sudden became a good shooter from three. And it didn't have any warning. There was no reason for him to suddenly be a good 3-point shooter.
A million other things speak to the culture. So it's laughable. I understand what you're doing.
So wait a minute. So you believe that if I simply put Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons in Heat uniforms last year, mm-hmm. they would have been playing in the finals?
Of course. Jimmy Butler went to the NBA finals with Bam Adebayo, who we thought he was going to continue to grow and develop, but nobody expected that. And Tyler Hero. A 20-year-old Tyler Hero.
If you fear that the Miami Heat could do something like that with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, why wouldn't you fear that Daryl Morey could do something like that with those two?
I like Daryl a lot. I love Daryl, okay? Overrated. Overrated.
I was like, I knew that was coming. I like him. I love him. Overrated.
No, get out of here with Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers. Like, these guys are pretty. They've been failures for the most part, and I say that knowing Doc Rivers has won a title.
No, Doc should have three titles.
Doc is a failure.
Oh my three.
More than overrated.
More than overrated. Failure. A failure. I like him. I love him. He's overrated. He's a failure.
Daryl Morey. I mean, he hasn't done anything. You're coming at me with an established Heat culture that, may I remind you, went to Game 6 against the Los Angeles Lakers without their best shot.
Daryl Morey went to Game 7, and if Chris Paul had been healthy, he would have knocked off
the Game 7 of the Western Conference.
Finals with Harden.
But Chris Paul got hurt, and they had the Warriors beat.
It's his fault for getting Chris Paul. He wouldn't get hurt with the Heat. He would have been in shape. I mean, they culture.
Yeah.
I mean, he has been in a musical. I mean.
From all the dumb arguments that Stugatz has made over the years here, him digging in. I remember this so clearly because he was so proud of himself. Yes. You know what I'm going to say, right?
I know, absolutely.
What am I going to say?
Bill Parcells, his ability to keep teams healthy.
Bill Parcells was keeping the Miami Dolphins healthy. Bill Parcells. The pear-shaped Bill Parcells. And they played in this violent sport. And Stugatz is like, nope, he's got a secret ability to make sure people don't tear knee ligaments. He's Bill Parcells. His hair is the color of urine. He's pear-shaped. He's got a secret mystical ability like an oracle.
Meanwhile, Bam was hurt and Dragic missed the finals.
That's right. That's right. The Lakers didn't get hurt. LeBron's never hurt no matter what the culture is he's playing in.
Do I think Milwaukee and the Sixers have gotten marginally better? Yes, absolutely. But the Miami Heat pretty much ran through that conference and they took on the toughest matchup. And while it was a six-game series, it seemed to be a pretty sizable gulf between Miami and Boston as well. So I'm not really worried right now. Danny Green and Seth Curry aren't going to scare me.
Hold on. What are you doing?
What I'm doing is I have the winning hand. We made the finals.
You made the finals, but what I don't understand about what you're doing is the Heat going six with the Lakers is an indication of how close the Heat are to the Lakers. But the Celtics going six with the Heat is not an indication in any way of how close the Celtics are to the Heat.
Being hypocritical? Get them out of here.
You've learned so well. I want to know where you draw the line. Like, what combination of players wouldn't win a championship with the Heat? With me on Towns and Wiggins.
This is not the time to come at me with anti-culture shit.
If I give you Beal and Wall with the Heat, they're healthy.
Come on, man.
Beal and Wall were a good team.
Come on, man.
A terrible coach.
Come on.
They were a good team.
A good team is overstated, Mike.
No, the Wizards were a scary team.
They were a mid-seed, a middle of the first round seed, a middle seed in a conference that we all said was very easy for LeBron.
I'm like a dog with a bone with this one.
Let's be realistic for a second, okay? Mike, Jokic and Murray play for the Heat. How long does it take them to win a title?
I don't think... Guys, I'm going to take the Heat culture. If you give me the two best players on other teams, I'm going to say they're going to be automatically better with the Miami Heat.
No title.
Title? Yeah. Probably.
Okay. Joakim Noah and Austin Rivers. Does that win a title?
Oh, my God.
Does that win? There he is. Percocet yes. Roy, ladies and gentlemen. Poi is in the house. He is in the chat. He has got a deviated septum sort of situation. I don't know whether it's been revealed what the procedure has been, but he is still wearing a mask over now, just his nose, and his face sounds constipated. The entire... Am I wrong?
Because it is.
You guys are putting me in a pretty losing position right now, and I don't really understand it because they made it to the finals. They had a damn good showing in the finals despite all the injuries they had to overcome. And it's just like, wow, you're being unreasonable. No, I'm not. They made it to the NBA finals, like, well ahead of schedule.
What if we do it a different way? What if we switch the coaches? Like, what if instead of switching players, what if we put Spo on the Sixers last season?
No, you got
like, is it Spo we're talking about here, or just the overall culture?
The culture. You got to move the culture from Miami to Philadelphia, which I don't know if you could do that or not.
Not in a year.
Are you guys actively trying to bother the audience? Because I don't know on the list of things here that bother the audience. Let's figure out what they are, because Mike's got a handful of them in terms of Browns Homer, Hurricane Homer, and culture. And
don't forget Soccer Guy, too.
That's right, Soccer Guy. Winner. And yeah. Music Snob as
where
well.
It's a real bizarre thing where I have, you know, on the grand scale of the globe, I have winning hands, but over here it's just I'm walking into L's left and right.
What do you say is the one that annoys the audience the most? Is it Browns Homer? Is it Canes Talk Guy? Is it Culture Guy?
Canes probably, because I'll admit, the Canes tap into the worst.
I think it's.
However, I feel like I've made really positive strides after FIU killed me. After FIU,
you were humbled like LeVar Ball.
Yeah, FIU ripped my heart out and soul, and it was just like, man, I got to change my life.
Billy, doesn't that feel good to you? Doesn't it feel good to you to know that Butch Davis and your mighty mighty Panthers ripped the soul?
You started on Butch Davis this year, Dan. Sorry, what were we saying?
What happened? What are you? You're down on
exactly,
Butch Davis.
Wasn't
happened?
Exactly the program transforming victory we all assumed it might be.
It's been a great year. This COVID's affected a lot of things, and we played like four games last fall. We don't need to talk about that right now. What were we talking about?
We were talking about whether you felt good about FIU tearing the soul out of Miami. Mike's saying he has been changed. That Mike Homer has been humbled by your Panthers.
Man, what a game that was, huh? Remember that? Marlins Park, that was fun. And then they lost the next week and now this season.
Letdown game, I mean.
We're in a position right now where they beating Marshall, who is ranked right now, will be like the biggest win in school history if they're able to find a way to do that this season. But they play like three games, so I don't know that we're going to get to that game.
Yeah, which leads us to Manny Diaz, actually, because they've been battling COVID policy things and the University of Miami. Now Manny Diaz has revealed that he is positive for COVID-19, which really is a weight off my shoulder, so I don't have to talk around it.
Well, can you guys help me with something? Because you remember, I would argue, Stugat, you tell me if you think I'm wrong about this, that the toughest stretch that this show has endured from like the first 4 months that we were doing this was the beginning of this pandemic. It feels like it's encroaching on us on all sides. If someone gets it in here, we are going to have to nuke the show again for a while, where we're doing it from separate locations, and it's going to be quite the misery here. What level of concern? You've been a hypochondriac throughout all of this, even though your behavior has been more reckless than you would assume from a hypochondriac.
I have a flight right after the show.
Okay, where are you going this time?
I'm going to Delaware.
Oh, is that a hot spot? Are you?
I have no idea. I'm assuming everywhere is a hot spot. Yeah, you
everywhere
know?
Is a hot spot.
Yeah.
Except for like New Hampshire.
Mike, we have been so careful as a show. We really have been. We have been like the closest to anything. When we walk in the hallways around here, no one's getting near each other. Everyone is always 6 feet apart. The only place that this could really happen in here is basically this studio between me and Stugatz in a confined space with us talking a lot, sending things into the air, whether, you know, and the science of this, like, are sometimes we 5.5 feet apart? Sometimes does this thing travel 7 feet? Like, we don't know. This is not something that we have any earthly idea about. And
you're worried COVID's gotten into the gym and improved from the outside?
Look, Stugatz just scared went because I was talking about it. Yep. He went and opened the door a little bit so viruses are in here could get out of the room. And I'm worried about the fact that Stugatz keeps flying in and out of the of the city and the state.
I have two negative tests the last 7 days, I believe, and I will tell you this. You asked the toughest stretch for this show. It's either the first 4 months of the pandemic or the first 4 months of the show. That's it.
No,
period.
First 4 months of Fusion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
That one, to me, is... Yeah,
out in the big in the TV studio.
Yeah, that,
yeah, that was brutal.
Was a year.
Dan was so uncomfortable.
Oh, but I thought...
Rightfully
the,
so.
Oh, but I thought the show was so much better than what we're talking about in terms of what we were ending up producing. I'm not talking about our unhappiness. I'm talking about what was going on the air to the audience.
Oh,
I don't think the first 4 months of
right.
Fusion were nearly as bad as the first few months of the pandemic.
The first few months of the show, period. To be expected, by the way. I mean, Dan will tell stories where he was riding around his neighborhood on a bicycle trying to figure it out. I wasn't doing that. I was driving in a car. But I had the same kind of feelings. Like, I knew what we were doing was not very good, and I knew he wasn't very happy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes. You're talking about like when you guys first started
when
with
we first
Lattard
started.
The
yeah.
first
it was a different
few months.
Show. Yeah, yes. It was a different show.
Yeah.
It was Stugatz interviewing me.
It was
3
bad.
Hours.
No, it was really bad. I mean,
I think you guys are a little hard on yourself because you guys still got like big name guests. Dan had access to these names. I was just so used to Hank Goldberg like talking to who is that guy?
Seth Greenberg.
Well, Notre Dame.
Dino Cook.
Yeah. Dino.
Is that when Dan realized that it takes a show a little bit to find its voice? Because that is something he goes to a lot now with shows. Is that did you learn that with our radio show?
I can't say it for Chappelle, having seen the first few episodes again. He came out of the box that way. But usually it wasn't this show that taught me that. I would say it was Highly Questionable that left that mark on me. Because when we started that, and the Daily Machine is unforgiving. Like, you got to hurry up and figure it out because people will give up on you in a hurry.
But you always say, and you're right in saying it, that we were afforded something that many radio shows are not afforded. We were afforded the amount of time to get this thing to a much better place than where we started, because that first year was brutal. Brutal.
Well, me and Stugatz were talking about this the other day, because I do believe that if we go and comb through the history of some of this show, we will find some funny things. We were talking about the specifics of Stugatz had this character forced upon him. It was not me. It was not me that did it. It was Murph. And I don't know who else was it. It didn't. Wasn't there a 790 sort of like board of directors that suggested to you the idea? You guys came to me with the idea that Stugatz would be Dan's pool boy.
Yeah, the idea was you're such an overwhelming talent and presence in the market, and it didn't make sense. Like, you and Boog at the time as equals doing a 50-50 show would have made sense. Boog was not available at that time, and so for me to come in and try to do 50-50 with you, to me, did not make sense. So it was like, all right, let's have Dan, Big Dan, and then lesser me, and yeah, it was like, I don't know if it was a board of directors thing. I think it was just really my idea. Like, this is the way we should do the show. But I started driving it because you didn't have any radio.
Well,
experience.
But you say it was your idea. Forgive me for this, because I remember standing by my pool and getting a call from you one time telling me that we were going in a different direction that you didn't like, or it was not like that we had harmed your credibility so much by making you the pool boy. And I thought years later that was you just making a call on your behalf and going apart from the board of directors, that you didn't like it.
I didn't like it. It took me a while to grow into it and be comfortable with it. At the beginning, I rejected it.
I mean, to be clear, I don't know how many people would like it. Like, to be clear, I don't think anybody would choose that role. In terms of just getting beat up and being the pinata.
I questioned it.
And now look at the winning position it is.
I no longer question it. Yeah.
I'm always the bleep hole. But who was that call coming from? When you call me and I'm by a pool and I'm picking up the phone and I feel your hurt feelings, like Stugatz doesn't want to do it this particular way anymore. And like, where was that call coming from? Do you remember where we were in the show's history?
I feel like we were maybe a year to 18 months in. It came from me. That's where it came from. I mean, I was getting bludgeoned on the air.
But did they know? But did the board of directors that had decided this, did they know you were making that phone call?
Oh, they didn't give a shit.
No, they didn't care how it was done.
They wanted you to pound on me harder. I mean,
it was a board of directors.
Not really.
It was, I mean, it was impossible to get all the people that were a supposedly board of directors in the same room. I barely saw anybody.
I thought there were five. When we had a press conference.
There was an ownership group.
We had a press conference at the Orange Bowl. We had a press conference to announce that we were doing this, and I thought there were five partners. They're not a board of directors. They were just five. I didn't think they all had equal ownership either. I thought it was the owner and then four people who were just a board.
That you just nailed it. There was Joel Feinberg, who was the owner, and then myself, Alan Brown, Scott Becker, and Kurt Murphy were the other
diversity.
Four partners.
Diversity. We came out of the box with
strong, boy.
And then with Joe Rose in the morning.
Strong diversity. Oh my God.
That's big dog.
It's a different time. How? It was a prime time.
We're the most diverse show in the history of ESPN. How did it start from there?
I don't think we can call ourselves that anymore.
What? Because the morning show is now that?
KJZ, yeah. More diverse.
Trying to think the rest of the lineup. Toast was in there.
Do they have a fourth voice on KJZ?
I haven't watched KJZ.
Any in the midday.
Minnie in the midday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Minervini.
That was a really...
Ed Slotkin.
Yeah, Slotkin. Jason Slotkin.
Wait a minute. Was I the only minority on the entire lineup? Nah. Were you just hiring Minervinis and Slotkins?
I think O.J. McDuffie. Was he a part of the...
I don't think he was part of the original.
Well, I took care
Sid
of that quickly.
Sid Rosenberg.
Sid was there eventually. Sedano came over eventually.
Wait a minute. Was the original lineup a bunch of old white guys?
I'm trying to think.
No, they weren't part of the launch, but I think even back then they knew, like, wait a second, there's a lot of white guys. We should have a contest to put two Latin guys together.
Dos Amigos. That was a good show.
It was a good show.
It was fun.
Sports Brothers.
I got a little offended at how much they started using our sounds, and then there was a call made.
The amount of shows I tried to put together, Clayton and Duper.
By the way, you should hit up one of the Dos Amigos if you really want Armando on.
They're friends with Pitbull?
Lars? Oh, yeah. Lars and Pitbull are like peas in a pod.
Billy is making inroads with Yuli, like the slow play. I don't know what we're going to do with that. I really thought we were going to have Pitbull by the end of the week, given our bromance with Yuli.
One of my most crowning achievements, it was like the last thing I did before the pandemic, in retrospect, was the Super Bowl in Miami. I had a lot of fun. And when Pitbull took the stage at Shaq's Funhouse, Pitbull thanked me for playing it. I was like, wow, he thanked me by name. No one else did that. He did. Armando.
He's got a good touch, Armando. Does he? Did you get close enough to smell him? Because he would seem to smell like cologne at all times.
Man, that backstage was a bit of a mess.
You want to give people an...
is the douchiest version of you, just so you
this
know.
One?
Yeah, the music one. Yeah.
Well, but wait a minute. Just backstage with Pitbull
I'm
is
sorry.
The douchiest
nah,
version
okay.
of him?
Nah, you know what?
I mean, I love
I was
you.
Just I curious. Sorry, I don't know why Stugatz did that. I wanted...
Music snob.
Saying you're backstage with Pitbull.
In that instance, I was a music artist.
I don't know. Just the cadence, the tone.
Yep, that statement didn't help.
Well, the music artist.
I was on the bill.
All of it, thank you.
He played an extended set.
That seems like a million years
it
ago.
Does.
That was,
I have this
Rick
funny
Flair
video of my
introduced
dad.
You. Rick Flair introduced you.
I have this hilarious video of my dad.
That was this year. Yeah. Mike, that was
that's
this.
Insane.
That was
no,
January.
No, it
that
was not,
this
no.
year.
No.
We had the Super Bowl
no.
in
no.
town.
No. No. There was no Super Bowl
Chris,
this year. No.
Chris,
I wore that battery costume like 6 years ago.
Chris, this is what I was going to tell you. I was going to say that moment on First Take that we had that we still haven't gotten to. Mike Ryan is showing us his dad dancing erotically. That is Katie Nolan's Instagram, obviously. She's horrified by the dancing of Mike's dad. I want to get back to that, Chris, though, because I've been promising the audience for a while to tell the story of what happened.
I think my dad got it in that night, not with Katie, with that girl that he was dancing with there.
I want to tell the story, Chris, for those who do not know. Because we were separated that day, and it really does seem like so long ago. Me and Mike were here at this studio. Stugatz and Billy were on Radio Row,
yep.
And Chris was here in a battery costume as we began our sponsorship with Advance Auto Parts, which is a show, Advance Auto Parts really gets what we do. They don't mind. They don't mind that we're sort of, you know, blaspheming their mascot or making things ridiculous with their mascot.
I think more so than any sponsor we've ever had, they understand
the show. They're in on the hijinks, and they get that we're just sort of fooling around with everything, and it doesn't have to be the common structure of how sports radio is done. And so we were doing their mascot things as a joke, and I got into some trouble. Because First Take was here, and this is just, you know, just a delight for us whenever we happen upon sort of the anarchy of let's show you what the serious sports talk looks like, because we have to be very serious around Derrick Henry, because we're sitting by a pool with people in bathing suits drinking from giant tubs of margarita with upside down beers in it. And it's very important that we talk to Derrick Henry with a great deal of seriousness while wearing jackets, because we put the sports jacket, we put the sports in sports jacket, and we give you credible opinions about sports that are important while talking to Derrick Henry. And so in the middle of that, because I don't even know what had happened. Were we mad because First Take was sort of infringing on all our Clevelander space with their seriousness? Like, I don't remember the specifics of what happened that led to dragging Chris in the battery costume into the First Take shot to get some advertising for Advance Auto Parts.
They were infringing. You wanted to bring the battery into the crowd. And really, at its core, what happened was you were told no.
I think there was more to it, too.
Maybe.
Everything was working for First Take, and they had a spread downstairs, and we couldn't get connectivity.
Oh, that spread. Yeah. Oh, that spread.
We saw exactly how low on the totem pole we were, and so I think that was part of what happened.
Well, Tony, you weren't here when any of this was happening? Were you on your honeymoon? Do you not know any of this story? Do you know any of this?
I have no idea, Dan. I was on a beach in Thailand while everything was happening, so I wasn't really that worried about the battery cost.
All right, so let me explain to you what is happening here, because it was funny, because now you reminded me. What happened was I had sent Chris down there in the costume to just dance in the background of First Take by himself with his hands moving. He couldn't really move. The costume is a giant square. It's hot. He's sweating. He's greasy. You know, his hair, his cul-de-sac of hair is stringy. And
all right, we get it. We get it.
Enough details.
And so this is what happened. So Chris gets sent back and is told by somebody that he can't do that. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't do that? Like, we're the ones who live at the Clevelander. You can't go to the bar as a battery to get a drink. Come on, I'll go with you. And then we go down there, and Chris is next to me in the costume. And Chris, you could take it from there, because I don't know. We've never told the story. So I want you to imagine, Tony, that it's Chris by the pool shaking his hands like a Happy Jazz Hands mascot. It's the only emotion he can convey because he's hiding inside the costume. And I'm right next to him, mad at somebody. I don't know who the person is, but they're telling us to leave the shot. And you take it from here, Chris, because he's behind a black screen, and I can see that he's scared. Like, Chris, yes. Chris doesn't. Scared. So while I'm telling this person, Chris, who was the person who was telling us to get out of there?
It was just a low-end producer for First Take, like somebody underneath the EP that was just like, hey, go get that battery out of there. Like, I kind of felt bad for that guy because he was just kind of conveying the message. We both were kind of just like, I'm here because my boss told me to be here. He's like, my boss told you to get out of here. So we were just. But the best part, the best memories of that was after I had gone up down by myself, I got kicked out, come back up, and Dan's like, you know what? We're going down. I'm going with you. And we're like waiting to go down the elevator. And Dan just kind of sensed my fear and just kind of gave me like, you're cool with this, right? And I had a moment. I've always wanted to say it to somebody. I was like, Dan, we ride together. We die together.
Yeah, we do.
And I was nice. Like, let's go. Yeah, I'm down.
Do. You quoted Bad Boys 2 before I did.
Yeah, we do.
I'm so I was, jealous.
I was thinking of that moment when you got fired, Chris.
Me too.
Because we knew going in somebody might get in trouble here. Like, there's the possibility that somebody gets in trouble.
And Chris did.
And then, so then we get down there, and I'm down there in the same spot, and that same producer comes up to me. He doesn't see Dan yet. He's kind of like, dude, I just told you can't do. Why are you back again? And then Dan steps in and just kind of, and there's a still shot that I still see on Twitter sometime of Dan kind of just leaning into the guy with his finger extended, kind of essentially saying, I'm Dan Levitard. I'm not going anywhere.
The nerve to tell Dan Levitard to get out of his own house.
Dan didn't use his own name, but that was what the gist of what he said.
So it was exactly what I said. He was told no.
It is a bit of a fire starter for me. Chris, the level of fear, though, like 1 to 10 doing this job, have you been more afraid? Because what I saw, I could barely see you. It was like seeing the priest in a confession, like you were behind this screen and I couldn't tell out, but I could smell the fear on you. I could sort of, your hands were not moving in jazz handy ways as relaxed as they should have. And you seem to have stiffened from the fear.
I knew that it was good content because literally Stephen A is talking to Derrick Henry and I know we're right behind it. So I'm in my mind, I'm like, this is hilarious, but also I'm like, I might get fired. So yes, I was terrified.
And look where we are.
On play.
And you did.
And you did get fired.
That probably was part of their thought. They had a list for Chris. Like, you know, remember he did this. Yeah.
Slow play.